Lord God has given me the tongue of a disciple, of one who is taught, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to hear as a disciple, as one who is taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I have not been rebellious, nor have I turned backward. Father, we just thank you for your presence in this place. We just ask you, Holy Spirit, to come and manifest yourself whichever way you see fit. You're already here. You're already among us. Father, I just ask you to open up our spiritual ears to be able to hear what it is that you're saying. Father, I thank you that you're stirring your body right now. You're preparing your body for your return. And so, Father, I just ask you to give us a word to be able to equip those, to get them ready, Lord, to get them aware, to make them move forward in you, in the missions and their callings and what they're called to be and do, Lord. I thank you that you're bringing your presence in this place and also in the body of Christ throughout this world right now, Lord God, to prepare us for your return. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So last week I touched on, or actually X and I touched on the, talked about the seasons and the times. And I went into specifically, well, we talked a little bit about how everybody has your own specific season. And then went off, and after X had ministered for a while, I went off into kind of like, what is the season of God? We need to know what season we're in. And it's not something that I think that I can get up here, I can communicate it and give you scripture, but it's something that's already inside of us. It's not something that really needs to be clearly communicated because it's already been communicated by the Holy Spirit. And so each of us in our own way are beginning to become very much aware of the times that we're living in right now. We know that Jesus rebuked the Pharisees. He said, how is it that you can determine the signs of the sky, but you cannot determine the signs of the times? And even though they were very well versed in the scriptures and that the things that they studied in the day, they didn't even recognize Jesus when he showed up. And so I think that we need to get to a place in our lives where we begin to not just understand what our calling is and what our mission is, but that we really do pursue it. And so every year that goes by, it's just another year to pursue the Lord in a new, fresh way. Some of us need to be refreshed at times. But I do believe that there is something that's coming down the pipe right now that if we really are aware of it, you can tag into it. You know, I think that one of the things about the Spirit of God that I've noticed over the years that talk about seasons and times, that there seems to be a time and season, at least in my life, where there's just almost a lot of growth, where things just seem to just like grow. And it's like God's just watering it. And I believe that we're entering into that right now. I believe that you're entering into that. And if you're aware of it, and God maybe has already given you ideas and things to do, just not in your lives, your business, and so forth, but he's breathing on you. He's giving you optimistic ideas, because when the Spirit of God speaks to you concerning anything, it's always wonderful. It's always uplifting. It's always encouraging. It always gives you a vision of what to do. You know, maybe it's a project that you're entering into. And you know, some of these things, yes, I know they're earthly, and you know, if we're remodeling a house or whatever we do, I know that's, but in those projects and in those things, the Holy Spirit can teach you. And it's amazing to me how, I'll never forget, I worked at a pool down here, Harbison Rec Center. They had a pool. I'll never forget, the Lord was teaching me on prayer. And he told me, so I want you to go down the filter room. And he didn't talk to me audibly, by the way. It's a thought I had in my head. And something that, I know it's him because it's not something I would think of. It's not something I would even want to do. Do you see what I'm saying? Because you know when God's speaking to you in your thoughts, it's separate from what you would normally think or say or do. And he said, and I just heard this one, go down and I want you to empty out the water in the whirlpool. And I'm thinking, well, that must be, the Lord must be some, because that water pool can get nasty and it has to be right and DHEC may be coming in, maybe he's protecting me. So I went down and I sat there in a whirlpool and he said, turn the flip on and turn the pump on to drain it out. And I turned it on and nothing was happening. And nothing was moving. He said, just watch it. And I'm watching, all of a sudden, over about maybe 10, 15 minutes, all of a sudden a little trickle came out. And then all of a sudden, then a whole flood came out. He was trying to explain to me about intercession and prayer, that it's not something that just necessarily where something just happens right away, but over a period of time, over persistence, over consistency, all of a sudden the water came through. And he was trying to show me something about intercession, about what it really means to cry out to him day and night for something. And so you may not have your answers right away. I mean, even Daniel prayed and God said that he answered him right away, but he was withstood for 21 days by the prince of Persia, by a fallen angel. And so you may be doing something in the Lord right now, but just know that out of your persistence, out of your consistency, out of just staying in there, just hanging in there, that you're going to get the water of life and for what you need. That's just a little sidebar there. Amen. Let's look to Luke chapter 2. I'm in verse 8. It says, in that same region, there were some shepherds staying out in their fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. Now, you read this, terribly frightened just doesn't describe probably what was going through them. And the reason why I'm pointing this out again is because I want you to understand something about angels, and when angels, if an angel would appear to you, or angels that appear to people in the Bible, most of the time, I would say almost 100% of the time, and I haven't checked out completely, they were completely frightened. They would go face first. I mean, you know, so when someone flippantly says to me, oh, I saw an angel and like that, I hear them, but at the same time, I'm thinking, that's not what these guys experienced. These things are powerful beings. Very, very powerful. And so they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. That's one thing they always do say. It seems consistently. They keep telling them, don't be afraid. Because I'm sure, I don't know about you, I mean, I would think I could handle seeing an angel. I have seen an angel in a dream. I've seen two angels in a dream, but they were flying and they were off in the distance. So I wasn't terrified. I was just like, wow. I didn't realize that, I mean, that they fly just like a bird would fly. And so that's my angel experience. Now, we know that there are different types of angels. If you study the scriptures, there's some strange-looking angels. They have eyes all around, and it just, you know, they have some that have wings, and some have different faces. I mean, if you ever do an angel study, it's very interesting. So they're not, but also that we know that they are in human form, and we know that we have entertained them, angels, without even knowing it. And so they can appear just like us. That's what I keep on saying. I think she's an angel. My wife's an angel. Amen. That's right. That's right. It's the truth. She's an angel. She appeared. And I wasn't terrified. Anyway. But an angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today in the city of David, there is born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you that you will find a baby wrapped in clothesline in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased. So it says when suddenly they appeared with him, an angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts. This was an armies of angels. This was a great host of angels that they saw. And it's interesting to me that even Jesus on the cross said that if he asked the Father to send 12 legions of angels, that he would have done it right then. But just know this, that there are a lot of angelic, there's a lot of warring angels, war angels as you would call them, that appeared when Jesus first came. And they also will appear when he returns. And so there's activity that's going on in the unseen realm that you and I can't see unless God gives us that permission or opens up our eyes to see it. So there's stuff that's going on right around us right now. There's a lot of activity. And it's amazing to me that so many people that want to engage in spiritual warfare, a lot of times don't really know what they're doing. You know, I mean, we really do need to know what we're doing when it comes to spiritual warfare. We don't want to just enter into something without really studying the word and getting involved and getting some good solid teaching. Because, you know, you go into somebody else's turf unknowingly, you can get burned. And I think a lot of times, a lot of Christians get involved in spiritual warfare before their time, before they're ready, and can get burned. And one of the things that, you know, I'm very careful just on who teaches and preaches and things like that. It's not so much that, I want to guard what people hear, but I want to guard the people that actually come up and do it. Because see, when you're ministering, and since a lot of you guys are ministers, you kind of know this, you need to be careful. You just don't go and just do ministry just to do ministry. You want to be led by the Holy Spirit, because there's safety in that. You're guarded in that. But when you get ahead of God or you step out before God is leading you, it can be a very dangerous place, especially if you go on a mission trip. I went to Haiti back in 2004, and I landed in Haiti. I was taken to a church. It was kind of like a compound, and I ministered to a few people. But on my way back, we got surrounded at gunpoint. And I thought to myself, and I had so many people tell me not to go. Everybody told me not to go. Don't go to Haiti. I said, well, I felt like the Lord was telling me to go. And so I kind of ignored everybody that was saying don't go, and kind of thought I was listening to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit did tell me to go. But at the time when the guns were being pointed at me and I was being surrounded, at that point in time, I was thinking, man, why in the world did I not listen to everybody that told me not to go? Here I'm going to die in Haiti. Because I really thought that was it. I mean, they were, you know, had guns at the door and stopped us, and there was nowhere to run, because in City Soleil, the roads are so narrow, and you got 10 houses on your right or brick houses and whatever on left, and you really had nowhere to go. And I said, this is it. And to make a long story short, the guy asked the driver what we were doing, and he said we were down there with Pastor Vincent. And they all backed off, because this pastor was feeding the area, and also he was teaching the children. And so the gangs respected him. So they backed off and they let us go on by. And I was thankful for that, but I didn't know if I wanted to go back the next day. I was really afraid. I was very afraid, because at the hotel where we stayed, I was up on a hill. You could hear shooting going on down in the city. And I'm thinking, what in the world am I doing here, you know? And so anyway, went the next day, went back down there, and I decided, okay, I'll go. So we got there, and we were fine. And all these guys, they all had white shoes on, because the guy it was a pastor's conference. He brought all these shoes for these pastors, and so they all had these brand new white shoes on. It was really strange. And I'm sitting there, and right before I got up, I had the Lord spoke to me, not audibly, but with my thoughts. He said, "Don't teach them anything." I'm like, what in the world? Because I had prepared something. I said, I'm about to teach you. Tell them about what's to take place. And I go, well, great. Let me in on that. Now let them know. And he said, I'm going to remove the leader of this country. I said, wow, okay. So anyway, there was another pastor with me from Spartanburg. Guy runs Restoration Ministry up there. It's a very large church. And he was there doing some photo ops. And so it was my turn. So I got up there, and so I shared something out of, I think it was out of Ezekiel, whatever, I'm not sure exactly, but I kind of weaved around into it. But then I got to the point, I said, you know, just want you to know the Lord was telling me that God's going to remove your leader, your president, or whatever he is. He's going to be gone. And when he is gone, it's a sign to you to go out and really preach this gospel. Well, these guys went crazy. They must have really not liked this guy, because they just got up and started dancing, all these white shoes, and they're dancing around me, and I don't dance. And so I'm in the middle of them. I'm just doing this thing. I'm just jumping up and down. And so I came up and I went, came back home and everything. And 3 months later, sure enough, that leader was gone. I remember getting a USA Today just out of the blue. Happened to get one. I was traveling on the front page that the leader from Haiti was removed. So, you know, I was protected in that. So, but it also, I learned something that I was thankful that I was protected. But you need to make sure that when you start entering any kind of warfare or ministry, that you make sure that you're being led of the Holy Spirit, that you don't just get out there because you can get hurt. Amen? So I went off on a big tangent there. So that was for somebody. So suddenly there appeared with him angel, multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest on earth, peace among men in whom he is pleased. And when the angels had gone away from, the heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So that was a season and a time of fulfillment for the for God to appear in the flesh, which he did. And it's something that we celebrate, and it's very, it's just a great time of the year. I mean, I've always liked Christmas just in the sense that of what it's really all about. It's amazing. It really is. And the whole world will celebrate it. Many of them don't even know what it is, but many do. And it's a place, you know, even wars have stopped. In World War II, I believe, I know they did in World War I, they actually had stopped the war. And actually, I think it was in World War I where they had the trench warfare. And actually, somebody, I think, came out of I think it was the Germans, they were singing carols or whatever. They came out of their foxholes, and the Americans did, and they met halfway, and they just sang, and then next day went back to war, I guess. You know? But it's amazing. So we're entering into a time, and it's a season. I think it's even more special right now because of the times that we live in. Revelation 19. So his first coming came in the form, became a baby, came God in the flesh with a virgin birth. But the book of Revelation, I think so many times that people don't have a revelation, a true revelation of who Jesus is now. And we need to understand that he's coming back to take over. He's coming back to rule and reign. And so we have to get that picture in our spirits. It says, let's go to verse 7. Let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, right, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are true words of God. And I fell at his feet and worshipped him. But he said to me, do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written on him, which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies, which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. And from his mouth, out of his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads down the winepress of the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You're going to see this. You're going to get to see this.
Yes, we are.
Jesus says, you know the truth, and truth shall set you free. I don't know how you are, but to me, every year that goes by, the reality of God and of all these things just become more cemented in my life. I'm going to see that. You're going to see this. And so if all this is going to happen and we're all going to see this stuff that's going to take place, what is that? How do we react to that? How do we respond to all this truth? We have one life here to live. And we have a lot of people that are around us. And you've heard me say this before, your congregation is everybody you know. You have a responsibility for your congregation. You need to pray for your congregation. Pray for the people that you get around. Make every day count. Over in the Song of Solomon, let's turn over there. I'm in chapter 4, verse 16. Now, this is what I wanted to talk to you about tonight. I wanted to talk to you about what I see happening in this next year coming up. It's already been going on, so it's nothing like it's okay. All of a sudden, this is going to happen, okay? But I want you to be aware of it, because if you are aware of it, you can partake in it. It's like anything else. You know, when you're aware of something in the Lord, you know, you can partake in it, but if you're not aware of it, it's like it was in the days of Noah. They didn't know anything that was going on until the flood hit. They were completely unaware. They were so caught up in their life that they had no reality or understanding of what was really going on, what was about to happen. And that's exactly the days that we're in right now. I pointed out that last week of all these events that are occurring in the planet right now, all of them. A lot of them are just distractions, but there are a lot of people that just are completely unaware of the season that we're in. The cool thing about the Song of Solomon is it is a prophetic book. And I'm in chapter 4, verse 16. And I've shared parts of this before, but this is the Spirit of God saying, it says, "Awake, O north wind, and come, wind of the south." The north wind is, it's a wind that clears the air. I don't know if you're anybody, but when sometimes, you know, when the Arctic blast comes down, you know, from up in Canada comes down, you know how that air just gets completely cleared. It just clears it out. And you know, the north wind is a strong, strong wind, but it clears the air and it represents conviction and refining. And so you have the Spirit of God blowing a wind on the body of Christ to just clear things out, to bring conviction over our lives and refining. It takes both conviction and refining. You have the conviction of the Holy Spirit that points out things in your life that he's dealing with you with, but he also brings a refining fire to deal with it. And you must accept that fire. You must realize that the refining fire and the discipline that you and I are under by the Holy Spirit is not just for our own good, but it's for our development. You know, you can get disciplined in a way where you feel like you're doing something bad. Hey, you shouldn't do that. Or you can get disciplined in a way where the refinement comes on you in your life to show you how to do something, to show you how to live or to let go of something. And so you've got the spotlight of the Holy Spirit coming on you and me. Now, when God convicts you, like, and I've said this before, he always gives you a way out. He always gives you a way to fix it. He doesn't just come down and say, you're just no good. You're just no, that's not the way he deals with us. He deals with us as sons. And so he's bringing a clear north wind to his body right now. And so you're going to continue to see more people, more leaders in this Christian community fall this next year, as you've already seen this past year. It's not that these guys are to be singled out and, you know, made fun of or put down. It's not it at all. It's the fact that the Holy Spirit does not want us to follow any other leader except Jesus. He has got to be king. He has got to be Lord. He's got to be first place in all of our lives. And so if he's not first place in our lives, then he's going to make it real clear to you and to me in this next year of some of the things that maybe we have to put away or put down so that he is first place. Now, one of the things that I want to share you, if there's anything on this earth that takes your attention, in other words, many times, you know, people, you know, I've had many different cars in my life, okay? But there was a little dent in my car or something like that, and Kara could witness this, because I always study her car when I go around, and I'll find little nicks and stuff like that. And how did that happen? How did this happen? But years ago, I mean, you know, a dent in a car would really upset my day. You know? I mean, I had something in my life that, you know, yeah, it was a car, it wasn't, you know, my God or anything, but if something happened to it, if a scratch got on it, or this or that, it ruined my day. Or it would ruin my week, maybe. Or maybe I would be upset with it. I almost wondered, as I'm saying this, now it even makes even more sense why when I was down to my last $50 and I'm ready to go back to Cincinnati, and I didn't know how I was going to stay there. And then that night, that very night, this is back in the 80s, a hailstorm came down and just pummeled my Camaro, which was my car. Just looked like a little, like a demon came down and just started denting it, you know? And I'm thinking to myself, you know, well, yeah, you know, this is, it was like the worst nightmare. I'm out of money and now my car is ruined. I'll never forget it. And then the check came in the mail. It was like $3,000, which was a lot of money back there. And I was like, well, do I go home or do I stay? And I think I'll stay. But can I live with my car being dented? You know, and that was my dilemma. That was the, you know, making the decision. You know, can I really, you know, really, you know, I'd really like to have a car restored because I like my car. And, you know, what am I going to do? And so I made the decision to stay. And then, like I said, you know, it's so hot down here. You know, from Cincinnati, it's so hot down here that the sun popped out a lot of those dents that were in that Camaro. Not all of them, but I mean, like 90% of them just popped right out. So I was very thankful for that. So you can't have anything on this planet that you're clinging to, because everything is subject to change, and everything is temporal here. And so the Holy Spirit wants to make sure that we get that lesson this year. It's very important. He doesn't want us to be attached to anything. Anything. He's number one. He's got to be number one in your life. Amen? That's what the anointing does. It teaches you to abide in Him. So then God says here, awake, north wind, and come wind of the south. The south wind. He says, make my garden breathe out fragrance. So you can see that the south wind, when it comes, it's a, you know, you can look at it as an anointing, you look at it a move of God, or whatever you want to call it, but God is breathing the south wind on the body of Christ. This year, going to blow it, and things are going to grow, things are going to happen, you're going to get breakthroughs, there's going to be blessings, all kinds of things on His people that are going about doing His mission. I mean, that's why you need the blessing. You need the blessing to carry out your missions, your jobs. What are you doing right now? Who are the people you're engaged with? What you, the means, the things that you got to have got to go into why you're really here. And when all those things begin to line up, that's when the flow of God, this wind, this south wind that comes, that makes everything grow and everything gets watered. Spring is a great time. That south wind just is blowing on the body of Christ. God wants to blow a south wind on the body this year as such as never before. He wants to grow us. Okay? And so you can think, you see all this negative stuff that's going on in the world, and all of a sudden the Lord says, I want my south wind to blow on my body. It says, come, my garden, breathe out fragrance. Let its spices be wafted abroad. Wafted abroad. That means something that has been carried lightly and smoothly through the air and has spread over a wide area or to many different places. In 2 Corinthians chapter 14, you get another picture of this. I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians 2:14. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one an aroma from death to death, to another aroma from life to life. And who is adequate for these things? So you get the picture of the fragrance. You are a fragrance. You smell good. Say, I smell good. Say, I smell good. Say, I smell good. Good. That's right. You smell good. You're a fragrance. And you ever go into a room, you just notice that people just kind of notice you? It's because you smell good. I mean, when you smell good, you can have confidence around a lot of dirty people. Because you smell good. Have you ever thought of that? I know John has the most interesting questions. He was asking me one day, he goes, Dad, what does the glory cloud smell like? Just out of the blue, I go, where in the world did you get that from? I don't know, I'm sure it smells great. Are you seeing the glory cloud? That was my next question. Mind of a 10-year-old. Make my garden breathe out fragrance, lit spices be wafted abroad. May my beloved come into his garden and eat its choicest fruits. May my beloved come into his garden. That's the manifest presence of Jesus coming into his church, manifesting his love. This is a Shunammite woman. She was shut up in a royal dwelling away from her lover and expresses her longing for the time she shall be wholly his in union with his return, yearning for his return. And so that you get the picture of this where God is commanding these winds to prepare the body of Christ because it's the fullness of time. It's the fulfillment of something. And we all are living in a time and a day where we're experiencing things that people would love to have lived in this age. And it's rapidly coming. There's an acceleration. Things are just accelerating. There's a real instability in this country that everybody recognizes. But the instability is not in God. The instability is in the things that are not rooted in God. And there are many things in our country that are not rooted in God. And so as God begins to release his power on the earth, he begins to start shaking things. And the only thing that cannot be shaken is him. And where is he? He's in living stone. He's in you and he's in me. And so that's why we can't have anything, attachments in this realm, because when things get shaken, if we're attached to him, we'll get shaken too. And there are going to be some things that might be shaken in your life that you have to let go of. But nevertheless, that when God is doing this move, this process is among us. It's working on you and working in me on a daily basis. You need to be aware of these winds because they're here. And God is going to do a great work in his body. You know, he's the great champion. He is the winner. He desires that no one would perish. And so he has strategically placed you around people, and also his children are all over this world, salted on this planet, that he can speak a word to those that hear his voice. And this is what's so key, because these winds and these experiences are heightening, should be heightening your ability to be able to hear his voice. It's very important to hear his voice. Just as he told me to go down to a whirlpool, he could say something to you or to me. He could say something to every believer on the planet in one day to do one thing. And those that hear and obey his voice would do it. We have to understand the general that he is. We limit him. He is unlimited. He is all-knowing. He has founded this thing from the very beginning. The Lamb was slain when? Before the foundation of the world. And so you and I are going to experience the return of Jesus Christ, one way or the other. And so if that's the case, we need to be ready. It's not that we'll be ready for he's going to come next year. No, we need to be ready tonight. It's just a matter of having the right attitude and the right reality of what's really going on in the world. So, go back to Matthew 24, and I'm going to finish up. Let's see, Matthew 24. Start verse 37, I think. Yep. The coming of the Son of Man will be just like in the days of Noah, for as in these days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will the coming of the Son of Man be. So when Jesus is saying things are going to be just like the days of Noah, they're going to be just like the days of Noah. But what was Noah doing prior to the flood? And that is what I would submit to you. What are we supposed to be doing prior to his return? And so we're in that season right now. It was a season, the first thing that it was a season of building. It was a season of building. He was building the ark. He got the prophetic word. He got the word from the Lord. He was building. You've got to build. You're building with living stone. Start building. Whatever's in front of you is a project to build. There's something that God's calling you to build. I'm telling you. And it might be something in the natural, but it still carries over into the supernatural. But you're trying to build something. What are you building? What are you building? And who is leading you in that building? You know, God gave Noah very specifics on how to build that ark. He gave him dimensions that he was to follow. A window, you know, it's supposed to have three levels. All these things, he gave him specifics. And so whatever ministries that you're building, there are specifics that the Holy Spirit will give you to build those things. You know, when he told me to go start a meeting out in Chapin, I was in Chapin, Prosperity, and Newberry. I didn't know where I was going to go. I didn't know where I was going to meet. I had no idea. So I just started to go, but I knew I was supposed to be in the area, you know? And then this young lady back there in the pink, you raise your hand, yeah. She calls me up and says, Roger has this house down the street that, you know, has all the walls knocked out. Maybe you can do a ministry in there. And so I said, I know Roger, he's a good guy. He helped my son, he saved our life. So I went over and I talked to Roger and he helped me set this up. The reason I'm trying to point out is that God will give you like where to go, but you go that place or you start something, but then it also connects to another person and then it connects to something else and all of a sudden you're building something, but you've got to step out. Some of you in here, you've been given some things to do and you know that God has given you maybe something to do and you haven't yet started it. Start it. Just start it. Don't wait. You know, don't wait for the cricket to chirp or whatever. You know, sometimes we throw these signs out, you know. Well, God, you know, just give me a sign or whatever, you know. But you need to step out. But God will give you the specifics. But there's always, when God builds anything, he will always give you the details. And you just have to be willing to take a step. So Noah was in a phase of building. The second thing he was doing is he had to gather the animals. He was in a phase of gathering. And we are to gather people. You know, in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30, I like the scripture in the Amplified here. I love this scripture, actually. It says, the fruit of the uncompromisingly righteous is a tree of life, and he who is wise captures human lives for God as a fisherman of men, and he gathers and receives them for eternity. Isn't it cool? Read that again. The fruit of the uncompromisingly righteous is a tree of life, and he who is wise captures human lives for God as a fisher of men, he gathers and receives them for eternity. So we're gatherers. And you know, it says no one can come to the Father unless comes to the Father unless he's drawn. And so he can pray and ask God to draw people. But the thing is, when you're in a mode of gathering people in the kingdom of God, and that is your mind and your mindset and your attitude when you're going out, you're going to come across people who need to be led to God. It's simple as that. When you're thinking about leading people to God and you want to lead people to the Lord, and you put that before him, then when you go out through your day or wherever you go, you have to be aware that there will be people there, they'll need to be led to God. It's just, that's just how it works. It's about sensitivity, it's about awareness. If you're aware that God wants you to lead people to the Lord, then guess what? You will run into them. They're like they're there, it's like they're there, they're waiting for you. But we're in a gathering phase. There's something about that I just would like to shake up the church in general and get everybody to say, hey, you know, let's start reaching out around us. You know, because if the door's about to shut or if he's coming back soon, we should be on fire for that. Amen? We need to get that revived within us. Bring people into the kingdom of God. And then the last thing that he was doing, what I see happening this year, I see people being charged up to go ahead and go out and build and gather. But the last thing that Noah was doing is he was warning. He was warning people. And I think that's one area that we need to be aware of. You know, in Ezekiel, let's see, chapter 33, says, this is God speaking to Ezekiel. Now, as for you, son of man, I have appointed you as a watchman for the house of Israel, so you will hear a message from my mouth and give them a warning from me. When I say to the wicked, a wicked man, you shall surely die, and you should not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I require from your hand. But if you, on your part, you warn a wicked man and turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he will die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your life. That's a pretty harsh thing. He's telling Ezekiel, you go out and warn. If you don't warn, then I'm going to require their blood on your blood's going to be on your head. And so, but it's so true today. We do have to warn. I mean, if you know the truth, if you really do know the truth, you know God's real, and you know it for sure. And you got somebody sitting right next to you who doesn't know God, well, you can ask the Lord, how can I witness this person? And God will give you the wisdom to be able to do that. But you have a responsibility as a Christian to warn people, you know, of what's about to take place. And so I just want to encourage you, and I, you know, like I said last week, God will give you the right words. It's not like you got to, you know, be a fire and brimstone type guy, but maybe we need more of that. Maybe we do. Amen? Amen. It's a tired group in here tonight. Amen. Well, I'm done, I think. I got all these new people back here are going to have to minister ever, I have a feeling. Yeah. Are you the youngest? Huh? These your youngest? Praise God. You guys all together. Okay. All right. Praise God. Amen. What's your name?
I'm Sanders.
Sanders. Amen. Sanders. Praise God. Amen. Yeah, Sanders, as I sit there looking, I just, that word quick comes up inside my spirit, you know, somebody that's really fast, you know, and just evasive at times, you know, you're kind of like stealthy. You know, and what I mean by that is that I seriously see God really using you in a very unique way, you know, where you have the ability to be able to communicate to people. You know, God has made you a leader of a sort. And so when you speak, others will listen to you. But you got a wisdom beyond your years, but also you got that adventurous part of you that just kind of, you're just adventurous. You're just like, you know, you love life. You are a guy that just loves life, and you're adventurous, and you're always ready, and you're always motivated, and you just got a lot of life in you, amen? I mean, I can say it anybody your age, but you particularly really just stand out in that arena. So I just want to encourage you. Did you have a unique way of ministering to people? Because, you know, you see hurts in people. You know, God uses you that way, where you kind of aware when people aren't doing very well. And I just see you giving words of encouragement to people who are kind of down. And you're going to come across some individuals, I believe, if God's telling me right, that are actually entering a type of depression. And even though they're young, but you're going to recognize it. And I really see you giving them a really word of strength and real word of encouragement. Because if this one individual doesn't hear a word of encouragement or get that, they're going to go medicate themselves, which isn't a good thing. But God's going to give you the ability to be able to really help that individual out. And I just see him pull him out of the mud. Amen. So I just want to encourage you in that, Jesus. Now, it's a real good ministry you got there. Amen. And you like to have fun. You know, I'm sitting around as I'm listening. I'm sitting around. Remind me of my best friend. And we'd laugh so much. We just laughed all the time. And that joy that you've got in your life, just keep that going. Amen. Because life is something that can be enjoyed. And I really want to encourage you in that ministry. But like I said, you're going to feel hurts in people. It's like you notice. It's not like, you know, you're totally focused in on people that are hurting, but you notice it. You know what I mean? And that's your calling, that God's going to have you use you to touch that individual. Amen. God said, are you a Carolina fan, I guess? Amen. Yeah, we got really beat bad by Clemson, you know. Did you watch that game? Are you healed? Huh? Not yet. Well, sometimes it's good to get beat by Clemson because it makes us better, right? Amen. It's like a refinement. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, anyway, I just want to give you a word of encouragement too. You know, I kind of look at it as I see like a stalwart soldier, like a guy that's got a discipline in his life through what you do, and you've been able to achieve things through that discipline. You've learned, you know, through consistency, you can advance, you can get better, and all that type of thing. And so God's really giving you all kinds of awards already through your athletic abilities. And I see God really opening up some doors in that area for you. So just be encouraged. You know, Samson had an anointing on him. You know, he took on 1,000 people at once or whatever it was. And we don't even know how big he was. He could have been this little dude. I think he was. I think he was like, it would make it even more spectacular. You know, he's just that big and just beating up all these people because we think he had to be strong. Now, he was strong because he had an anointing on him. And that's why he was strong, right? So in saying that, I want to encourage you because, you know, the anointing can come on the flesh. I've seen it happen before. I've worked with a lot of elite athletes where the anointing comes on their flesh, and they didn't know it was because I'm over there praying that the anointing would come on their flesh, and they would do things I'd never saw in practice. You know, I mean, they practice, I'd watch it, but then they get in a competition, all of a sudden they were able to just, you know, step it up. So I want to encourage you, you can step it up. Don't think that you can't do it. You can do it in Him, and you can break records. He is a record breaker, you know, where you're going to break records. I'm assuming you're still in school, right? Are you in school?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you go to Carolina?
No, I'm still in high school.
You're still in high school, okay. All right. Ooh, good. I was going to say, they need some help. Amen. Well, good. Well, that is good. And you just give a scholarship then, I guess, huh? Is that what you want? Do you want a full ride or a partial ride?
Full ride would be awesome.
You want a full ride? Okay. Would you like to get the incentives with it too? You know, the cost of living expenses on there too? Yeah. All right. I agree with you. So you don't want to go to Clemson though, I'm assuming, no? Do you know Roger's a Clemson fan? That's okay. But no, I just want to encourage you. I really see you as a record breaker. I'm not just telling you that, okay? Really, there's something that you're going to do, that you're going to excel in, and you're going to break records one after another. But you're going to recognize that this is the power of God that is moving in your life that's doing it. And so don't ever separate yourself from that, because that is where your success is going to always be rooted in, okay? And athletes and coaches are the most religious people on the earth because they will pray all the time. Oh, they believers. You know, they want God to be on their side all the time. So there's a good place to be, but I just want to encourage you that ministry that you've got in the athletic arena is something where God's going to give you a bit of a platform. And you're going to really be speaking to a lot of people as a result of your accolades. if Jesus tarries. Amen. God is so good. God is so good. My brother, I just, a word engineering mind comes up in me. I see one as an engineering mind, you know, somebody that's just really skilled. And you know, it's, everything has to be in order. It's not 5, 6, 2. It's got to be 1, 2, 3, 4. You know, you're a very ordered person, and you're irritated over people who are not ordered. And that's why God has you ministering to people who are out of order. You will minister to people who are literally out of order because they have no order about their life. But you will bring them into order because you like that. First of all, you like to discipline people. You like to make sure they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, when they're supposed to be doing, and how they're supposed to do it. That's the teacher that's in you. And God's going to raise you up in the days to come as a coach. And you're going to be coaching people. And you're going to be leading them into excellence time and time and time again. So I just want to encourage you. That's a strong gift that you got. It's already functioning in your life. It's already functioning around you. It's not that you want to tell other people what to do. It's just you're a coach. It's just natural for you. Okay? In fact, if you don't say it, you're going to like explode. So, you know, I just want to encourage you that ministry you got as a coach is speaking into the potential of somebody's life. It's always that. It's always speaking to the potential. And when you get that, let that eye develop itself. I'm not talking about a natural eye, it's a spiritual eye. Because when you start recruiting people to coach people, you want to be able to coach people. They have heart. And when God gives you the ability to be able to look on a person's heart, because he's the only one that can, then you can really find some real jewels when it comes to recruiting. It's so easy for me to recruit because first of all, you would either send them to me or he would show me who to pick. It was always somebody that I would never have picked naturally. So just be encouraged that ministry you have ahead of you is going to be awesome. God's just set, laying the foundation right now. And if you really look at your life, you can see, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I do have an engineering's mind. I do get irritated over people who are out of order. But yeah, that's right. You know, because you are a coach and they're called to bring things back in order. And that's what you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, there's a bunch of cookies back there. Let me just go ahead and pray over the cookies and we can all eat. Father, I just thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for what you've done this meeting as you bless it. This food back there, according to your word. Bless and sanctify according to your word in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just thank you for this wonderful time together in Jesus' name. Amen.